Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For particular attention today, we turn to that second reading, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, where we are told, "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe the key word in this passage is that word mystery, which also, by the way, can be translated with the word secret. I believe that these words are key because we are often too narrow in our definition of these words. Take the word mystery, for example. What is a mystery? If you're like me, I tend to think of a mystery movie or a mystery novel or a murder mystery kind of thing. And, you know, you're not wrong if you think that way, but that thinking is very narrow. A mystery, quite simply, is something that is difficult to understand, something that is difficult to explain. So when Paul writes, "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel," what he quite simply is saying is that this is something that is difficult to understand, difficult to explain. The same thing with the word secret. Generally, we whisper in somebody's ear, "I've got a secret for you. You got to promise not to tell anyone." We think of a secret as being as information that is being withheld from many, that's only being shared with the privileged few. But again, that definition is too narrow. Okay? A secret, quite simply, is something that is not known or seen by others. So when Paul writes, "This is the secret, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel," he is saying that the gospel of Christ Jesus is something that is not seen or not known by many. And I've got to tell you, thinking this through changes my understanding of this entire text. The gospel, you see, is not information that is to be withheld from the general public by the privileged few. The gospel is not some tangled plot that the author seeks to keep people in the dark as they're looking at it. No. Now, the gospel simply is something that many people just don't see or just don't get. And I believe that the number one reason why they don't see it or get it is because it's just too plain and simple. It's like one of those items that you search all over your house multiple times over looking for, and there it is right in front of you the whole time. Take St. Paul, the author of Ephesians, as an example. He knew the Old Testament better than any of us ever will. He had dedicated his life to studying it, to knowing it, to teaching it, to following it. And of that Old Testament, Jesus himself has said very clearly, "These are they that testify of me." The gospel is all over the Old Testament. But it took a special appearance by Christ to Paul on the road to Damascus in order for him to get it. But then once he got it, he spent the rest of his life pointing it out to everybody he could. as he does here in Ephesians chapter 3. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Jews and Gentiles all together are heirs the same way. The whole human community is one body, recipients of this one same promise. In fact, the primary reason we are celebrating Epiphany today is to make sure that all of us gathered here and all of those of you listening at home know this. You know, as I was reading the gospel reading, I was kind of wondering to myself, how much did those magi really understand? You know, if they really knew the story, they would never have gone to Jerusalem. They would have gone to Bethlehem. And then, listen again to what happens after Herod. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I wonder how much that rejoicing exceedingly with great joy was over the fact that they knew now that this new king was not going to be a Herod type of king. I wonder if those magi had ever read Isaiah 60 like we read this morning. Oh, what did we read? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon your light at night. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. You see, Epiphany isn't so much about the Magi or Herod. It's about the mystery, the secret of the gospel. And that mystery, that secret is this, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through this gospel. Now, please note what I find to be two very important facts listed here. Two items that are, well, easily missed, sometimes difficult to understand. The first is the fact that Jesus comes for all, and that Jesus then treats everyone the same. We are all fellow heirs. We are all members of the same body. We are all partakers of the same promise in Christ Jesus. As it says elsewhere, in God's economy, there's no such thing as Jew or Greek, rich or poor, slave or free. In God's eyes, all the same. Now, I know initially that sounds very easy for us most of the time. But how comfortable is it when it means that God treats believers and unbelievers the same? How comfortable do you feel that God treats the Hitlers living among us today the same as he treats you? As he does for all the abusers, all the addicts, whoever. Christ died for all. Even that evil King Herod, who eventually killed all the babies 2 years old and younger in the whole Bethlehem area. And if Christ died for all, that means that he forgives all. He sends rain upon the just and upon the unjust. He answers the prayers of everyone. He is available for all. In fact, it might be said that the only privilege here on earth that believers have over unbelievers is that we get to share the good news of Christ wherever we go with all. And not only do we get to do that, we are expected to do that. We are commissioned by Christ Jesus himself to do that very thing. And this all comes from the fact that it is sometimes hard to understand or easily missed, the fact that we are all fellow heirs and members of the same body. Now, the second secret or mysterious item comes in with the last three words of the text, through the gospel. There is nothing that anyone can ever do to earn God's favor. There's nothing any of us can ever do to earn forgiveness from him. In fact, all we can do is reject it, refuse it. All we can do is reject him, close our ears to what he has to say to us. The good news is that God in Christ Jesus is always at work for our eternal good, yours, mine, and everyone's. Yes. Not just for our eternal good, but he is at work for the goodness eternally of everyone. You don't get more blessings by believing more. You don't get more blessings from him by trying harder. You don't get more blessings from him by obeying. The only way to get more blessings is to stop ignoring them. Stop refusing the bounty of blessings that he keeps pouring into your life. Now that, my friends, is a mystery. The secret to living the blessed, joyous, peace-filled life is just to live the life that God provides, to receive the blessings, to relax in the wonder of his ways, to relax in the wonder of his love, to seize all the opportunities that he places before you. This, my friends, is the mystery, the difficult to understand and explain gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a secret that is missed by so many, and I'm afraid by us more than we'd like to admit. You see, your sins were all forgiven even before you were born. And that's true for everyone. The promise then was sealed on top of you on the day of your baptism so that those eternal blessings are yours just as they are mine. They are ours to enjoy, to use, to share without end and with all. Why? Because we are all partakers of the same promise that is given to us in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep all of our hearts and minds united with Christ Jesus through his wondrous gospel. Amen.